Let's talk to Mike Wilson here on Blaine and Mickey, Knoxville News Sentinel. Were you born, Mike, on November 24th, 1984? Were you walking this earth in any shape, form, or fashion at that point?
I was not. My parents weren't even married yet, so.
Okay.
Hey, I was in grade school, man. I don't know what Mickey talking about.
Right. Some of us may have been in high school when that happened. But I don't know if anybody who entered that stadium on Saturday thought. I mean, you always think, okay, hey, this is a pretty good team over here. Kentucky was that rare team with a losing record that had a lot to be confident about really coming into the game. But for that to have been as historically bad as it was, no one could have expected that. And at one point, what did Tennessee had held them to, 37 yards or something? They were down 14-0. Just an unbelievably bad start, and it got worse from there, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I did walk into there expecting a good game. I mean, that is a good Kentucky team. They have a case that they should be 4-0, if not for some mishaps against Ole Miss and kind of a really bad call in that Auburn game. But certainly, I don't think you could imagine that 27-point loss and also in the way it went down. It was certainly an embarrassing thing for Tennessee. The offense embarrassing the first half, defense embarrassing the second half. It was just an all-around performance that lacked energy and lacked inspiration. And maybe more concerning than the loss itself was that element of it. Jeremy Pruitt tried it after the game, kind of focusing on, after some of those turnovers, just not seeing the offensive guys chasing down the guy with the ball.
Right. And
that's as concerning as anything to me.
Well, he questioned the play call on that out that got picked and taken to the house. He said, why would you throw up 54 yards to gain 4? I think were the two numbers that he said. And then he questioned the whole team's effort. And he said, I don't know what it is. I've been here, you know, for 2.5 years and I've seen more long interception returns by the other team. I don't know. But then he questioned his team's overall effort. But I mean, this has been a kinder, gentler Pruitt, I would say, certainly than the guy who first arrived. But, he was definitely placing some blame in some different places after the game yesterday.
Yeah. And he did later soften the comment that about the play call and the out, kind of putting it on himself more than offensive coordinator Jim Chaney, which is when he first said that comment, you're kind of like, oh boy. Like, you know, throwing that out there, but he put that on himself. But yeah, those are comments that he kind of looked around and said, everything that we did wrong was just not acceptable for a college football program. And, you know, as a coach loves to say, started at the top, but I mean, it trickled down everywhere on Saturday. I mean, that was a debacle of a performance.
With Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel.
Well, Mike, I guess we can keep on the offensive side. I guess it still trickles over the defensive side because the offense didn't do too well, but the D-line coach got fired. So really, literally tell us what happened as far as his firing and what was discussed and why is he leaving when he's only been there 4 months.
Yeah, that's an expensive 6 month tenure there for Tennessee football. I think it was $1.3 million between salary and buyout. Jeremy Pruitt this morning said that Jimmy Brumbaugh's firing late Sunday night was about philosophical differences and basically said, if you're going to make a change, why not make it when you know? Still bizarre, I guess, after 4 games. I mean, it's the D-line's not great. They have 2.5 tackles for loss and 1.5 sacks. Maybe 1 sack. It's really low numbers through 4 games. They're not pressuring the quarterback. They didn't even hit Terry Wilson on Saturday behind a good Kentucky offensive line. But yeah, philosophical differences is the line that's being given on why a change was made right now.
So what does that actually mean though there, Mike? I mean, philosophical, did anybody ask him like philosophical or like you didn't ask him these questions when you hired him on his philosophy and what you like to do in your defense?
Yeah, it was asked and he just kind of explained it as it's a different fit that didn't fit overall very well. And that was what was strange too, was, yeah, I think maybe the timeline on that or the way it shook out is different with spring football. Maybe you straighten those things out in the spring with the way this season unfolded. Maybe you kind of lose that opportunity to really see how everything meshes together. And it shook out this way where, you know, at basically midnight last night, news breaks that Tennessee's parting ways with the defensive line coach. Jeremy Pruitt today says he's going to coach that position for the rest of the year, and then they'll figure it out later.
Oh, man, he's going to be the highest paid D-line coach in America. All jokes aside, so that real issue, as we all know, is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do there? What do you think they're going to do? And then how can they get up to speed some of the younger players that actually need the reps since they missed it all from COVID?
Yeah, you know, a week ago this time, Jeremy Pruitt firmly said Jarek Arrington is our quarterback at Tennessee. Today, his comment was not as firm. He still is backing Jarek Arrington, saying he's not at all ready to shelve the fifth-year senior and kind of cast him aside. But there also are comments indicating those younger guys are going to get more reps. They've started having Sunday scrimmages where Harrison Bailey took all the reps 2 weeks ago. Bailey and Brian Maurer split them last night. And JT Trout's a guy they're continuing to work as well. And he is the primary backup still. He threw one pass for interception on Saturday, so that's not great either. Not exactly a vote of confidence in those other guys. But they're going to continue giving those other guys reps in practice. And they're, it sounded like to me that Jeremy Pruitt's looking to get some of those Sunday scrimmage younger player opportunities interwoven into practices this week. But to me, you know, looking ahead to Alabama this weekend, you start Jarek Arrington. Pruitt didn't rule out playing a second guy, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them throw a couple series in there for someone. To me, that should be Harrison Bailey. And then Tennessee's got an open week after Alabama. And if there's ever a better point to really evaluate your quarterback position and consider making a wholesale change, it's when you've got 2 weeks there to do it.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Harrison Bailey, naturally everybody from the fan base wants him out there. But what did you see in his limited amount of play that gives you that excitement that you think that he could be the guy?
You know, it's hard to put much stock in four pass attempts, a lot of handoffs. You know, his first four plays were all handoffs, and understandably, you know, Jeremy Pruitt commented after the game and today, he was involved in the game plan plays. They just kind of ran some plays that he understands, which, given he missed a week of fall camp, also is limited. But I mean, the pass he threw to Malachi Wideman was a very nice ball, also a great catch for Malachi Wideman. Very good play for both those guys, who certainly factor into Tennessee's future. I mean, you know, I saw a guy out there that didn't mind stepping into the moment. I mean, obviously there wasn't a lot of pressure there, down 27 in the fourth quarter. You're not leading a comeback. Home game, not a huge crowd. So there's not a lot of pressure for him to have in that moment. He stepped in there, looked fine doing it. But yeah, I mean, fan bases always want the freshman quarterback, right? I mean, that's, especially when it's a highly recruited kid, that's the guy they want to see in there. And that talk has been there since Bailey committed. And it's certainly only going to continue to ramp up as Jarek Arrington struggles.
Okay. I'm going to make you Harrison Bailey. I get to start against Bama my first game. Would you do it?
No.
If you'd have come.
No, I wouldn't. Tennessee did start Brian Maurer at quarterback last year. He got knocked out pretty early there. But, I mean, that showed, I guess they're not unwilling to do that. Right. But that also wasn't Maurer's first career start. And so that's certainly a difference in that situation.
Well, everybody's going to be clamoring for that, as we all know, as the fan base. They don't care who we're playing. I ain't even thinking about that. But, yeah, it's Bama you play, and you can actually ruin your quarterback. Yes. You start him against that type of defense and that type of program when he's not quite ready yet and doesn't even know where his options are for second and third, you know, dump off reads and everything else, if he can only go to one read. But we shall see. I'm interested because I think Coach Pruitt is kind of to the point where it's kind of what Mickey said, is that he's going to probably play multiple quarterbacks in this game. I don't know who they're going to be. I would assume it's going to be JG and Harrison Bailey. I'm just interested to see how the rotation goes and what you do, because if you start JG, you know, the fan base is going to go nuts right up from the beginning when he runs out on the field if he starts the game.
No, let's talk about this. A perceived strength of the team was the O-line. And I know guys have been hurt a little bit, some, and they've been shuffling guys around. But, man, they're struggling. And they were perceived like they had their own – I mean, everybody was tweeting and singing songs about these guys, and they struggled so far.
They have. And I think one of the issues on this team, we did hype that unit up quite a bit, and understandably so. I mean, when you can roll four or five-star recruits out there, a lot of starting experience for Cade Mays, Trey Smith, Darnell Wright, Wanya Moore started last year, and Brandon Kenny is a sixth-year senior. I mean, on paper, this should be a really good offensive line, but then you look a little closer at it and you start realizing they might not have an offensive tackle. They have a whole lot of swing guys, and you're seeing those struggles in pass protection against really good Georgia edge guys, Adam Anderson, Azeez Ojulari. Saw him again against Kentucky with Jamar Watson and guys like that. I mean, they're getting beat by good edge rushers. And that's obviously a scary thing when you're now going into Alabama, who, you know, they've got just guys built like Brinks trucks coming off the edge. And that's not what Tennessee's offensive line wants to see here. I think they're perfectly fine in run blocking, but the pass blocking has just not been pretty.
What is the morale level of this team right now, just around the program? What does it feel like, just the pulse of the team?
You know, I'd love to have a great insight into that, but the closest we've gotten to that team this year was two spring practices in March.
Right.
Understandably, with the pandemic, I mean, we don't get to get out there, see practices, kind of get a feel for what's going on there. And we don't talk to players till tomorrow. But we did talk to Jeremy Pruitt today, and obviously the two heavy focuses were the quarterback position and firing a coach after four games. It's hard to get a read on, but certainly looking at myself in that moment, coming off back-to-back losses where you were handled and now you're going in to face a team that's just handled, a team that handled you. I mean, that's tough to get up for, but at the same time, I think these coaches have probably sat these guys down and said, look, here's what was unacceptable, because there's things you can control, things you can't control. And what they could control the other day was their effort, and they failed to do so. And that certainly is something you have to get out there and correct before you face anyone, let alone Alabama.
Well, and we were kind of talking to you a little bit here on Zoom. Mike Wilson is on with us from Knoxville News Sentinel. And you said, you know, hey, man, it'd be a tough thing to sell to the fans going, let's say 4-6 after you got the extension and, you know, with the timing of the announcement and everything else. That's a tough thing to sell to a fan base that's starting to get a little antsy right now.
Yeah, and you know, going into the year, the contract extension and raise for Jeremy Pruitt, you can understand it. It's coming off the best year he's had at Tennessee, six-game win streak at that point. I mean, you got things moving in the right direction, but this is just not the pretty start that Tennessee was expecting. I think they expected to really compete with Georgia for more than, you know, a couple of nice plays there in the first half, and I think they expected to beat Kentucky, despite that being a pretty solid Kentucky team. But I mean, that's back-to-back losses by at least 20-some points, and that's not what you want to see from a program with a 30-year head coach who just got a big, big boost of confidence and vote of confidence from the administration.
Well, and you're doing all this just in time to get ready to have Alabama come to town, and all I can think about is what in the world are those Alabama wide receivers going to be able to do to this? I know we've talked about the offense and who might play quarterback, but you know, Alabama settled on their quarterback, and their receivers are running wild, just like they always seem to be.
Their receivers look like guys that should be playing in the NFL yesterday. Is probably a fair way to say. I mean, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith's as good as it gets. And I think maybe, you know, we talked offensive line as a perceived strength of this team. The secondary was supposed to be that as well. Yeah. And they haven't really forced turnovers. They haven't really got their hands on many passes. You know, Alante Taylor was out last week, and that's a big hit for Tennessee when he's not playing. Bryce Thompson just hasn't really stepped up and made those plays yet. And that is a team that, or a unit that has to really show itself if you're going to try to slow down Alabama at all. But, you know, we can double back to the defensive line on that too. They're not doing their part in helping make the secondary's job any easier.
Yeah. On with Mike Wilson, Knoxville News Sentinel, talking Vols.
Hey, I know John Chavis, Mike, is down there coaching middle school, man. Is that an option? Did anybody bring that up? You know, just to coach D-line?
You know, as I was mourning the Atlanta Braves loss last night, I started to see that floating around on Twitter. And it's just the whole dynamic there of saying, well, this coach's middle school season just ended. Maybe he can get in the mix at Tennessee. It's just such a funny sentiment. I don't know what direction Tennessee is going to go with that. I know Tosh Lapoy is going to be a guy that name gets floated out a lot because he's got ties to Jeremy Pruitt, Alabama. He's a guy with the Falcons now, and that's certainly going to be a popular name that people hear out there. But yeah, the John Chavis thing of just the fact he's coaching middle school football in Knoxville is kind of a kind of hilarious a little bit.
Wow. Well, do you think with this whole quarterback situation, I got to get back to that. Once it all pans out, do we expect to see somebody in the TP? Because, man, I sure feel like they hyped up JT Shrout and said he'd really did a good job. And, hey, did he throw a bad pass? Yeah, but, man, one bad pass and you get yanked? I mean, come on, man. Let's give him a break now. Let's get him warmed up and let him have a couple passes. Granted, he probably should have dumped it down or something, but I just see that this is going to have a bad ending for some of the guys actually on the team.
Yeah, I mean, and that's obviously part of the element here is roster management of trying to keep those guys around. And what Tennessee has right now is three guys with starting experience and a highly touted freshman who is expected to push for that starting opportunity as well. And now is being talked about more in that capacity. There was a false report after that game that Brian Maurer entered the transfer portal.
Yeah, he
quickly shot that down on Twitter. Tennessee quickly confirmed that wasn't true. But I mean, if Harrison Bailey becomes the guy that's splitting opportunities with Jarrett Garantano, you have to assume that the length of time that those two guys are here changes for at least one of them. And that's just looking at the logic of it. That's not saying, oh, one of those guys is on his way out, but there's just no sense. And if a freshman comes in and passes two of you as sophomores, that you both stick around to be the backup moving forward. So we'll see what shakes out there. But I think what you said, Blaine, earlier is accurate with, you know, if you're going to go with a two quarterback system, it probably makes sense for it to be JG and Harrison Bailey. And Harrison Bailey with just some series designed exclusively for him, given that it was pretty clear that he doesn't have that whole playbook now. He doesn't have the whole game plan stuff going in. He's not up to game speed yet. And again, like I said earlier, that's where that bye week becomes really interesting to me.
Do you think they're going to be more freshmen playing? I mean, I guess get more playing time. And I'm not talking about the quarterback. I'm not talking about, you know, on the defensive side, you know, you got the Joseph kid, you got the Barron kid, you got, you know, Key, who hasn't really played very much, Keyshawn, on the defensive side at all, really, just special team. And then on the offensive side, some of these wide receivers, I'm trying to figure out how can you get them like a series or two and get them in the rotation so they get their feet wet at the same time, still trying to win the game with people who know where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, and certainly, I mean, they threw a lot of freshmen in there at the end the other day, all the wide receivers, right, a couple running backs at the end of the game with Harrison Bailey, which is a good thing. But they are going to play more young guys. And that's something that Pruitt stressed last week after that first Sunday scrimmage for young guys was a lot of guys stood out there where they said, oh, some of these guys might help us this year that we didn't know about. Bryson Easton, Tamarian McDonald were two of those specifically, a couple of freshmen out of Memphis last year. I believe McDonald played on special teams on Saturday, so he started getting some looks. But yeah, I think those Sunday scrimmages for young guys are going to lead to more of those guys getting opportunities. And certainly finding ways to work them into the normal playing rotation, opposed to just, yeah, throwing them in when you're down by 27 in the fourth quarter and just kind of seeing what they do out in the field. And I think you've got to do that at some point, too, to really find a winning formula with this team.
I guess one more last question with Mike Wilson, and that is with the offensive line. I just want you to tell me the philosophy in Pruitt is, does he want to play his best five as far as talent-wise, or the best five that work best together as a unit?
That is a great question. I don't know if we've ever exactly asked Jeremy Pruitt. I generally assume it's coaches trying to find the best five as a unit. But I also know with what they went through in the preseason with trying to find a unit that they didn't have a lot of opportunities to do that due to contact tracing and everything. So finding that is interesting. Saw a lot of chatter after the game the other day saying Cade Mays has got to be the right tackle. I'm not as convinced on that. I think he's a right guard.
I do too.
Based on the way that he's played. And I think he's a good right guard. I don't think he's a great right tackle. So to me, it's still finding that right group more than it is the best five players, because I'm not sure who their best five players are or who their healthiest five players are right now, because they got a lot of guys banged up right there too. Jerome Carvin probably is in that best five, but he's been banged up recently.
Is Wanye going to be able to play, you think? Or
day-to-day was the word today, but they expect him to play.
Oh, okay. Ooh, we're on with Mike Wilson with Knoxville News Sentinel.
All right, let's wrap it up with this, Mike. You and me are going to bet each other, you know, a soda pop and a steak on who runs out to start at quarterback for Saturday. And I let you
soda pick. Pop?
Well, whatever. A beer, soda, whatever Mike wants, he gets if he wins. we're going to bet each other a pizza. We'll just do it. We'll go pizza for whoever runs out to start at quarterback against Alabama. Who's it going to be? Who you pick first? Who you got?
Derek Guarantano. And okay. I'm not even batting an eye on that.
Boo! That's going to happen. That is exactly what's going to happen.
That is what's going to happen.
I hate it, though. I hate it.
That is what's going to happen. But yeah. I don't know how you can start anyone else in this game against Alabama. I think Blaine said it absolutely perfectly earlier. You don't start Harrison Bailey in this game because you can break him in this game. Again, I covered South Carolina in 2016. They took a bye week, rolled out there, got Jake Bentley ready to start. He came out. I think they beat Tennessee in that first game after the bye, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I mean, that's a perfect opportunity for a bye week to get someone else ready if that's the direction you're going to go. And I just don't think you say going to a game against the number two team in the country, this is the time to make that change.
Mike, we appreciate it, man. At by Mike Wilson. You can find him on Twitter, Knoxville News Sentinel. You can read his writing there. Thank you, man. We appreciate the time.
We'll do it again soon, Mike. Thanks for having fun.
Thanks for having me.
All right, wide open segment. Talk Vols, talk Titans. Who's the quarterback? You're a Titans fan. Your team's 5-0. You want to crow. Whatever you want to do, let's load up the lines. We'll take phone calls on the way out. 615-737-1045. Blaine and Mickey on 1045 The Zone. So,